Appreciate the privilege to be back in Guthrie again. Seems like it's been a long time. I just desire prayers, as Brother Stanley mentioned during prayer, that without the Lord, we really don't have anything. And I'm sure that you all have heard that many, many times. But I say it from the bottom of my heart tonight, this morning, that without the anointing of the Holy Spirit as we go into this meeting, it's really going to be in vain. And we'll be wasting your time and my time and God's time. And I don't want to do that this morning. But our desire is that as we each one look to the Lord, I believe God will be faithful to us. I really do. But we're going to have to put into it. And I desire your prayers, the Lord would bless us here this morning. I want kind of say any good that can come from these meetings, we can thank God for that. And if anything else comes from it, you can lay that at my doorstep. So let's pray that God would bless us all and that we would put in to seek the Lord for a closer walk, as the song was sung, that we would have a closer walk with God and come on the other side of these meetings, being closer to God, more on fire for God, with more power and more grace in our life, that we might know how to live more acceptably before God. There are a number of different places this morning that you could choose to go to service. There are a number of different, many different places that you could choose to congregate yourself. There are many different ways in the world today. And the Scripture says there will be those saying, lo here and lo there. You can about believe anything you want today, and you can find someone who you can fellowship with. You can hold maybe a few doctrines and you may have some strange ideas. And generally, you will be able to find someone else that thinks that you're right in your opinion and in your idea. And you can fellowship with them. Well, there are many ways in the world. There are many people this morning that are seeking after the flesh. They're seeking to find satisfaction in life after the fulfillment in the things of the world and after the flesh. And this is one of the reasons why it seems like we know technology and entertainment and things in the world are escalating and growing very, very rapidly. And one of the reasons for that is people are seeking for something to continually satisfy them. It doesn't last very long. Whatever satisfaction and pleasure they get out of the fulfillment of the things of the flesh, it doesn't last very long. And so they have to try to find something else to satisfy. There are many ways this morning. There are ways of religion that you can follow after. There are movements of men, bodies of people that you can come together and you may be able to find some fellowship, someone to say, well, you're doing all right. You can go and pat each other on the back and be content with where you're at. Folks, there is no power in those types of fellowship. There is no power in the things of the world. There's no power in following after the things of the flesh. There's no power in your own ideas and in your own opinions. And if you'll turn to Acts in the fourth chapter, Acts chapter 4, beginning with the 10th verse, said, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is when the lame man had been healed, sitting before the gate. And it said, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It's a very basic, simple message this morning. But I find that the enemy is trying to, even those that are saved and love God this morning, the enemy is doing all he can to get our focus and get our attention on the wrong things. The enemy would that we would get our eyes off of Jesus. Folks, the only place, the only way that you're going to have salvation, the only way that you're going to have that true freedom and liberty and power working daily in your life is only going to be found through Christ Jesus. There is no other name given under heaven. Folks, I cannot find salvation in Peter, He said, it's not in me. They began to lift him up and he pointed them to Jesus. There's not salvation in any body of people. There's not salvation in any history. There's not salvation in your ways, in your ideas, and in your traditions. Salvation is found through Jesus Christ. And folks, we need to get our eyes on him. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. It's the only thing that is steadfast and sure in this life. You may begin to put your trust in a body of people. You may begin to put your trust in certain individuals, in certain things in life, but many times you will find that they're going to let you down. Many times you're going to come to a place where you feel like you've been let down. I thank God this morning when we keep our eyes on Jesus and we're living for Him because I love Him. Folks, Jesus will never let you down. Family may disappoint you. You may feel like the ministers let you down. But thank God Jesus will never let you down. It's something that's steadfast this morning. It's something I can put my trust in. I do not want to live my life. I don't want to sacrifice. I don't want to deny myself just because someone said I should do it. That's not a good enough reason. Folks, there's no power in that. Do you know that that's bondage? It's bondage as a parent, and I'm just getting started. But those of you that have you can make little children conform to certain things. But you know there's no power in their life to do it. They're doing it because we're holding authority over them and we're forcing them to conduct themselves in a certain way. At least we're trying. But yet we find that when people come to an age of accountability, that we can make them or try to force people to conform to a certain standard or to conform to living a righteous or holy life. But folks, there's no power in that. There's really bondage when I live my life because you expect me to live it that way. When I live my life because everybody's saying this is what you must do, that's not going to change my heart. That's not going to change my focus in life. But the way that will give me power is when I come to the Lord and I acknowledge His power. And I say, Lord, I want to live this way because I love You. I want to live this way, Lord, because it's not the way of everybody else. But Lord, this is Your way. Folks, this is where we find power. This is where we will begin to be encouraged in times when things are not going well and we look all around us and say, Lord, what's happening? We keep our eyes on Jesus, knowing that in Christ is where the power is going to be found. In Christ is where salvation is. As much as I would like to this morning, I cannot give salvation to you. I cannot go out in the world and give salvation to people. But what we can do is point people to Christ. We can say, in Christ, there is power. Too many people, though, this morning, and I believe that all of us at one time or another have been in this place that we try to make our own way in life. We sought after and we followed the things that we wanted to do. We did the things that we thought, and it was more based on, this is what I want to do. This is what feels good to me. This is my idea. This is my opinion. And so this is what I'm going to base my life on. Folks, it will not get you very far. In Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, in the 23rd verse, he said, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You can try all that you want to set your steps in order and say, this is the way that I'm going to live because this is the way I want. But folks, we need to acknowledge, and the sooner we acknowledge it, the sooner we're going to find the true source of power in life. The sooner that we acknowledge, it's not in my way. It's not in my ideas. Folks, one of the hardest things for people to consecrate is their own opinions. Because I think I'm right. It's one of the hardest things to be able to lay down and give to God. Folks, if we are not careful, we will begin to be too consumed with what I think and with what you think, and we're going to fail to go to Christ and say, Lord, what do you want? Lord, what is your way? Lord, in the trial, when people don't treat you right and when things aren't going right, just stop and say, Lord, how do you want me to respond in this way? Yes, I have my own thinking. I know what I'd like to do, but Lord, what is your way? Folks, that is the way of power. That is the way it's going to be found in Christ. And I just want to write this up here so we'll keep it before us. In Christ, where will you find power? If you're not happy this morning, if you've been struggling in yourself, if you've been struggling with temptation, this is the place that you can find true freedom. Folks, when you do things because everybody else is doing it, it's bondage. It's bondage. When we do it because I love Christ, when I do it because I know this is the way that Christ has laid down for me to live, folks, it's not bondage anymore, it's liberty. It says where the Spirit is, there's liberty. We sing the song sometimes, "Oh, the Glory." And the song says we do just what we want to. We go where'er we please. And that is what we're doing here today. Folks, there's an experience that you can sing that from your heart. It's, I'm not in bondage. It's not the list of rules that say don't do this and you can't go there. It's, I don't do that because I don't want to. Why? Not because of peer pressure. Not because of conformity. But because in Christ, I don't want to do those things. Because in Christ, that's what's shaping and molding our life. Folks, when you begin to do things and follow after your way, you're going to fall short of being a happy person. You're going to fall short of experiencing the true joy in salvation. There are people that are in bondage to themselves. There are people who are in bondage to other people. You know there's a better way for us this morning? There's a better way, and it's to keep coming back to this place that in Christ, that's where we find our salvation. Scripture in Proverbs in the 14th chapter in the 12th verse says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You may have it all figured out. You may have in your mind the way that things ought to be, but folks, we're not going to be able to make it to heaven on the way that I think things ought to be. We're not going to be able to find that true rest in daily living, that real peace, that freedom from guilt, and that real joy that Brother Stanley was talking about that just wells up in our heart. You're not going to find that in your own ideas. You're not going to find that in your own way and in your own thinking, but you will find it in Christ. And I believe one of the greatest dangers, and I'm glad and I am very thankful, and don't misunderstand me, I am very thankful this morning that I was raised the way that I was. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I'm thankful that I was raised knowing the truth. But one of the greatest dangers the enemy works on that end is that you grow up knowing the truth and pretty soon you're just kind of apart. This is where you go to church and this is what you've always been taught. But folks, you know, in itself, that's not where power comes from. In itself, that's not where salvation is found. There must be a place that you come to in life that you say, "Lord, I want to find it in Christ. I've been taught what is right." And again, thank God for it. I'm thankful what I've been taught. I'm thankful for the example of those that have gone on before. But folks, we've got to get it for ourselves. And the only place where we're going to get it is in Christ. It's not in your own way. It's not in the ways of the world. And folks, it's not in religion. You're not going to find salvation. You're not going to find power. You're not going to find grace. You're not going to find satisfaction in religion in itself. If you'll turn with me to Matthew in the 5th chapter, Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. He said, Jesus was speaking. He said, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. If you will take notice in the first four Gospels, much of what Jesus said was to the scribes and the Pharisees. Do you know what Jesus was trying to get them to do? He was trying to get them to find the source of true salvation. He was trying to open up their eyes and show them, you're not going to make heaven. You're not going to find that real peace in your own righteousness. The scribes and the Pharisees, and we're not going to take the time to read it all this morning. I'd encourage you to go read the 15th and the 23rd chapter of Matthew. And it backs this up, and I'll just tell a little bit about it, but the scribes and the Pharisees were very, very caught up in their own thinking. They were caught up in their own religion. They were caught up in their own righteousness. And then where it began was God had given the law to Moses. And God had said, this is what I want you to do. And God had given the law to them. But yet then there developed a body of people that they began to add to the law of God. And they began to add their customs. And they became known as fence builders. They said that, well, this is what God tells us to do. And so they just added a little bit more to it. And that's where we know as the Talmud today. It is the oral traditions that followed the written law of God. That God had not given that. But that is what they began to add to it. Again, to sit down and not wash your hands before you eat. To sit down and do things. God did not mean these things to be bondage to people. But the scribes and the Pharisees began to add to the law that God had given until it became bondage to people. And they began to exalt their human traditions up to the same level as the written word of God. With the Ten Commandments. And it was not long before the scribes and the Pharisees not only had the Talmud or the written traditions and customs, they not only had it on a level, it began to supersede the written law of God. And so now then what the scribes and the Pharisees began to teach people, if you want to find God, this is what you need to measure to. And they did not point it back to what God had given. They began to point back to their own customs and their own traditions and their own righteousness. And Jesus came along and said, this isn't right. He came along and said, there's a better way. There's a more perfect plan for you. This morning, there are individuals and folks, there are bodies of people all over the land that are living not according to what Christ brought, but they are living according to their own rules and according to their own regulations. Folks, that's bondage. There's bondage in that. But when you come to Christ and you find true salvation in Christ, then the way that you conduct your life, folks, when you are in Christ, holiness comes forth from that. It's not because the rules up here, but it's because I'm in Christ. That's where the power is, and that's where the strength is. Romans in the 12th chapter in the 16th verse says, be not wise in your own conceits. Remember what I said about some of the hardest things to consecrate? Our own ideas, our own opinions, what we think about something. There's some of the things people hold to tenaciously. And the Scripture says, be not wise in your own conceits. Jesus came to give us something better. Jesus came to show us very simply and very plainly the way of salvation. It's not going to be found, folks, in a form of religion. And I would that if you find yourself maybe getting your eyes a little bit too much on the form of religion and on your thinking and your ideas, may I point you back to where the power is this morning? May we point you back to where people will truly find help to their souls? You know, the unrighteous man, the unsaved, the unsanctified person could live according to how the scribes and the Pharisees were giving out. That's putting on your own righteousness. That does not mean anything to God. He looks on and He's looking in your heart and He's seeing in your heart whether you're living holy. He sees your attitudes. He sees your motives. He sees why you do what you do. Folks, if I do something for the sole reason of everybody else and what everybody thinks of me, is there power in that? There's not. There is power in Christ. When I say, Lord, I'm going to do this because this is what you want me to do. I'm going to do this, Lord, because I want to bring glory to your name. I'm going to do this, Lord, because I want to live my life pure and holy before you. Folks, there's power in that, but it's only going to come in Christ. Jesus said in John the 14th chapter, and I believe Julie had that for a verse this morning. We'll just turn and look at it again. John the 14th chapter in the first verse. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way. I'm interested in the way. Is it in myself? Is it in everybody else? What is it in? Is it in religion? Is it in the world? Is it in the flesh? Jesus said, the way ye know. And He said, I go to prepare a place. And I know many times when we've heard this scripture, it's been when someone passes away. And we say Christ has gone forth and He's prepared a place for them and they're going to go to that place. And I don't take exception to using the scripture that way. But I want to share another thought with you on this scripture. The scripture in other places bears out that heaven was already prepared. Heaven was already there for those that have gone on. And what Jesus, one of the ways that Jesus, we can look at this is that Jesus had not yet gone to the cross. And He was going to the cross and He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He was going to prepare a place spiritually for us that we might be able to enter into the kingdom. And that was when He went to the cross. It was through the blood. And He said, the way ye know. And Thomas said unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? How do we know the way this morning? Jesus said, I am the way. Folks, you want the way? I encourage you to lay everything down and say, Lord, I want Your way this morning. Lord, my preconceived notions, my preconceived ideas, don't lay down truth. Don't lay down the principles and the doctrines of God that you've been taught. But folks, to get an experience for yourself, you're going to have to find it in Christ. Not in your own righteousness, not in just an outward form of godliness, but that there's a change in the heart. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's the only way this morning you're going to find happiness in life. You say, well, I don't want to get saved because of what they're doing over there. Folks, my salvation I thank God for. It's not dependent on what they're doing over there. My salvation this morning is not dependent on what they said and on what they did and on all that's going on. My salvation is dependent upon me being in Christ Jesus. And that means when everything else looks like it's going to fall apart, with Christ in my heart saying, Lord, I'm going to walk in Your way. Folks, there comes joy. In the time of trouble, in the time of battle, in the time of temptation, folks, praise God, this is where we can be steadfast. This is where we can be anchored to the rock. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the foundation. My foundation is not built on any man. It's not built on anything else, but it's built in Christ Jesus. And folks, that's where the power is. This is the message that we need to take to the world. This is the message that we need to share. Your salvation will be found in Christ Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In 2 Timothy, in the third chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And I believe that we would all acknowledge this morning that we are in the last days. I believe that we all would acknowledge that, yes, we're living in a time where evil is abounding. We look in the world and there's so much evil out there. But he went on to say, he went on to list some of the things that would be out in the world. And we'll, to conserve time, we'll just skip down to the fifth verse. He said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Brothers and sisters, we're in the last days. And one of the things that is going to be in the last days are individuals and bodies of people that have nothing but a form of godliness. It's what the scribes had. It's what the Pharisees had. They had their own righteousness, but it wasn't of God. And the reason it wasn't of God is because it didn't get down to the very root of the problem. They were dealing with outward things, the washing of hands. And yes, the good works should be there. Jesus told us, follow that example, but yet get it in your heart. He told us to get it in our heart, and we're only going to do it in Christ. This form of godliness, folks, is pervading the religious world today. It's all around us. And yes, there are also those that come in the name of Christ laying their own foundation. Thank God Jesus already laid the foundation for us, folks. Jesus already came and brought it to us. He laid it down for us. He showed us the way. Jesus is the way. You say, what is truth? How many times have you been hearing that in the last few years? Folks, people have questions. What about this and what about that? I have no problem with that. But folks, the answer is going to be found in Christ. Jesus is the answer. That's where the power comes from. That's where the grace comes from. That's where the liberty comes from. It's in Christ. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. You will not have life in any body of people in itself. You will not have life in any tradition in itself. That's not to say that we throw those things out. It's to say, let's get to the foundation. Let's start at the foundation and find where true power comes from. It comes from Christ. In 2 Corinthians, this very familiar scripture in 2 Corinthians, in the 5th chapter, in the 17th verse, he said, therefore, if any man be where? Be in Christ. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is the place that we can truly find power. This is the place that we can truly come to the place in our life that we can be satisfied in what we have in our experience. It's a place that we can come to where we will have that real communion with God. It's when I've laid aside my own righteousness. It's when I've laid down and consecrated my own ideas and my own opinions in my own thoughts, and I humble myself and I said, Lord, I want your way. It said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There are times you may look on people that have been raised knowing the truth, and you see them act carnally. Have you ever seen that? And you shake your head and say, well, they ought to know better. Do you know that people, folks, that are not saved, many of them do know better, but they don't have any power to do better. They know they need to do differently. But folks, an unsaved person, someone who is not actually in Christ, they do not have the power to live godly. They do not have the power to live a holy life. And you look on, and yes, people may disappoint you. But folks, we cannot expect the unsaved individual to have power with God. They have to be in Christ. This is what they need then. They need to come to the place that they find an experience in Christ that goes beyond anybody. It goes beyond any group. It goes beyond any opinion and any idea. And they come down to the place that say, Lord, I want to now be in Christ. And that's what makes the change. It's more than just following the list. But it is that the Lord comes in and He does something definite in our heart. When someone comes to Christ, it's not that we get up from the altar and say, go try and do better now. It's not that we say, well, now you can go and live according to the Word of God. That's not it. It's when we come down and say, Lord, we acknowledge our need to Him, and we say, Lord, I've been following my way, and now, Lord, I want to go your way, and I want to dwell in Christ. Folks, Jesus reaches down and He actually makes a change in your heart. He makes a change in your life. There are people who are trying to serve God that have not had a definite experience of coming into Christ Jesus. Folks, that's where the answer is. That's where God's blessings are going to be when we come to that. Paul said in Romans, the first chapter in the 15th verse, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You know, he didn't say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Paul. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Peter. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Michael. Folks, there may be some ideas that I may hold that you might be ashamed of. But you know, you never have to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You never have to be ashamed of it because there's power there. It's because it's truth. It goes beyond what I preach. I told someone at home a while back, at the time I begin to preach something that's not from God, that's not from the Word, based on the Bible, you have the privilege to get up and walk out. You have that privilege anyway. But folks, the power is going to be found in the gospel. The power is going to be found in what Christ came to give us. And it goes way beyond what I can give to someone, because it's Jesus that makes the change in the heart. We don't have to be ashamed of it. Have you ever been a little bit hesitant? Let's say it like it is. Have you ever been embarrassed? Someone comes and asks you a question. Why do you do this? Well, I've always been taught that. Why don't you go these places? Well, I just don't. Do you know that that's a place maybe you might be ashamed of just an idea? But do you know that when you come in Christ, do you know that when you really tap the power source of what all this is about, it's more than it's what my church is taught. It's more than what they used to do 100 years ago or 500 years ago. There is a place that we can come to in Christ that we will have an answer. It's because I'm doing this because the Lord wants me to live this way. This is the way the Lord is leading me. And folks, do you know we don't have to be ashamed of that? We don't have to be ashamed of the ways of godliness. We don't have to be ashamed of the ways of holiness. We don't have to be ashamed of what Jesus brought us. What we do have to be ashamed about is my own ideas. What we do have to be ashamed about is just my own conceits, my own wisdom. But folks, the Lord has a better wisdom for us. It's a wisdom that comes from above that is in accordance with the way of Christ to be found in Him. In 1 Corinthians, in the second chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul was speaking and he said, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now take note of how Paul's preaching was going to be. He said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Wouldn't that be wonderful for Paul to walk in and say, I came among you, I have a message for you, and I came among you knowing nothing save Jesus Christ. No problems, no situations, no questions, nothing. I'm just going to come and I'm going to preach the way of Jesus. I'm going to come in and I'm going to teach you and I'm going to show you the way that Jesus came to give us. Folks, he said, I came among you knowing nothing. If Paul can say that, can we do less this morning? This is the way that Christ wants us to walk. This is the way of true satisfaction. I don't want the young people to feel picked on. But I would like to say that sometimes I know maybe there are things, and not just the young people, all of us, that we don't always understand. But do you know that what it really comes down to is that we get that experience in Christ? That we come to a place that we say, Lord, I want to live this way. Not just because, and we want to please people, but it's not just because family. It's not just because I was raised this way. But Lord, I'm doing this because I want to please you. Lord, I'm doing this because I want to have that relationship in that communion with Christ. Folks, it's the only way you're going to truly find happiness. Again, there are many people that are putting on the cloak of their own righteousness, of their own good deeds and their own good works. Folks, it's necessary, the good works, but it won't get us to heaven. What's going to get us to heaven is the way of Christ, living in Christ Jesus. Now, let's read the fifth verse. In this show, Paul tells us the reason why he didn't want to come with his own wisdom. It tells us the reason he said, I'm not going to know anything save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Folks, my words this morning, you know they don't hold any weight. My words this morning, they don't hold any weight, but you know the words of Christ do. And this is why Paul came and he wanted to preach Jesus. He wanted to point people to find their life, their salvation, their joy, their happiness in Christ. And so he said, I don't want your faith to be placed in men's wisdom. I don't want your faith this morning to be placed on people. I want your faith to be placed in the power of God. That's where we get the life change, folks. You can conform. I mentioned it said perilous times will come. Talk about that form of godliness. You know, we mentioned the way of the world and the way of the flesh. There is a way of conformity that if we are not careful, we can very easily begin to slip into. We begin to do something just because so-and-so said it. And you see what someone says changing all the time. So who do you listen to? Where do we really come down to what truth is? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Folks, it's in Christ Jesus. A way of conformity is a life of bondage in itself. Now, when you follow the way of Christ, and someone else over here follows the way of Christ, you can come together in communion and in fellowship, but I'm still living the way that I'm living because I love Christ. Because He's in me. It's the only place we're going to find that true happiness in life. In Hebrews, in the 12th chapter, the Scripture says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. This message is to all of us this morning. It's to me. It's to all of us, saved, unsaved, brother and sisters, whatever you are in life's way. Look to Jesus. The devil will do all that he can to discourage. He'll make things look so big to you, and you wonder how you can get through them and how you can be faithful. But I would encourage us this morning, daily, let's look to Christ. Let's get our eyes on Jesus. It said, who's the author of our faith? It said, Jesus was. Who's the finisher of it? Paul? Michael? Brother Stanley? Group of ministers? No. It said, Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Folks, when we stand before God, we are going to stand by ourselves before God. And He's going to look on our life and He's going to see whether we are walking the way of the world. If we are trying to find it in our own self, in our own righteousness, if it was just kind of because we were conforming, or He's going to look down and see if we were truly in Christ Jesus. If we had truly had a change of heart. Folks, we can't live godly without a change of heart. If you're trying to do that, I encourage you to be as good as you can, but you can't live saved without a change of heart. You can't be holy without Christ. You can't be holy. You can do some outward things, and everybody may speak well of you. And everybody may say, well, brother so-and-so has been saved a long time. But folks, God truly is looking in the heart, and He knows whether I'm in Christ. I may be able to cover some things up. I may be able to bite my lip and not say something, but the Lord knew what was in the heart. You know, when the change of heart is there, it's when it changes, your desires are different. Yes, you're still tempted, but now there's power. Now it's, Lord, I still want to follow You. I'm in Christ. And He said here, looking unto Jesus, if you are discouraged this morning, if there is anything in your life that has been a hindrance or a discouragement to you spiritually, may I encourage you to look to Jesus. May I encourage you in your battles this morning to get your eyes on the Lord. And that means when you do that, folks, you won't begin to fall. When you look to Jesus, you're going to have constant peace and joy. And the times that your peace starts to feel a little bit, you start to wonder what's happening to it, you can come back to the source. You're going to find it in Christ. In John, in the first chapter, he called Jesus. Well, he was speaking about Christ. And it said, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. You know why His own didn't receive Him? They didn't want to walk the way of Christ. They had their own ideas. The Jews as a nation. Now, there were some Jews that came to Christ. But as a nation and as a body, they refused the message of Jesus. They refused that great salvation. And it said Jesus came to His own, and His own refused Him not. But it said, but as many as received Him, gave them power to become the sons of God. If anyone, regardless of circumstance, will say, Lord, I'm ready for Your way, Jesus will give you power to become a true son of God. But I wonder this morning, if Jesus came in this morning into the congregation and Christ began to walk the aisles, and He walked and He looked at me and He looked in my heart, and He began to walk and do that to every individual. The Scripture said Jesus came into His own, and His own received Him not. Would you really be ready to receive Christ this morning? He would look in and He would see that reflection of Himself. This is one of my children. You know, when you're caught up in your own opinions and ideas, Jesus is going to be one of two things to you. He's either going to be a liberal or he's going to be a fanatic. Jesus comes along, it said, his own received him not. And some people, in their own ideas, they look on Jesus, and if he were here today, they'd say, well, Jesus is being a little bit too liberal. Do you know the scribes and the Pharisees, in essence, accused Christ of that? He didn't hold the line of holiness close enough. This is Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And there were others that would look on and say, Jesus is a fanatic. He's taken it too far. We can't live this way. It's going too far. Folks, how would you receive Christ this morning? Do you know He wants us to receive Him as He is, as that simple gospel message? Folks, it's in that that we have hope this morning. It is in the gospel of Jesus that we have life. It is in the gospel that we have liberty and freedom this morning. Not liberty as an occasion to the flesh. You may say, well, see there? No, that's the way of the world. That's the way of the flesh. But we're talking about here following the ways of Christ. In closing, in Matthew in the 17th chapter, Matthew chapter 17, we'll just begin reading with the first verse. It said, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be there, to have been there on the Mount Transfiguration? Where Christ, the Son of God, and here's Elias and here's Moses, men of God that God had used through the ages, say, well, it's good to be here. Those were Peter's thoughts. And Peter, he went on to say, well, Lord, if Thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles. One for Thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. You know, that was a very human thing to do. And I can't say maybe I wouldn't have done the same thing. It was very human. But Peter said, well, now here's Moses and Elias and Jesus. Let's build a shelter for each one of them. Let's build a tabernacle so that we can have each one of them will have a place. And it said, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. He didn't say, hear ye Moses. He didn't say, hear ye Elias. He said, this is my Son. This is the one in whom I am well pleased. Brethren, sisters, let's not build a tabernacle to our own opinions. Let's not build a tabernacle to anything but to Christ Jesus. God said, right when Peter was speaking, I believe the Lord God was going to put a stop to Peter's thought. And He said, this is my beloved Son. I am well pleased with Him. I am well pleased in His way. I am well pleased with His words. I am well pleased in the truth that He has brought to you. Hear ye Him. And I would this morning that all of us would tune out our ears to everything else in the world all around about us. In the world, in the religious world, put it all together. And let us hear Christ Jesus. Lord, what do You want me to do? Lord, what is the way that You would have me to walk? And it said, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. I would this morning that when we look up, that we would see no man save Jesus only. Folks, this again, I'm just going to reiterate it. This is where the true happiness in life is going to be found. This is where the real satisfaction, it's where the real peace is, folks. You can go and search other ways. You can follow after other things. But until you come to this place in Christ, you're going to keep struggling. But when we lift up our eyes, look above the battles, look above the people, look above opinion, look above all those things. And when you lift up your eyes, see Jesus only. And folks, that's when the Lord can begin to perform a work in our life. Amen.